So I'm going to start this off today with the Life Without Limits in this series. This will be the last day for this series, as far as my part will be. My mother used to say if she caught me doing something that I shouldn't be doing, which was most of the time. How many people can resemble that remark? My mother would say, Alan, what in the world are you doing? What in the world are you doing? Or what in the world were you thinking? So I'm going to ask you this question today. What in the world are you doing? And what in the world are you thinking? Because it is very important what you're doing and what you're thinking, because your life depends on it. Your life depends on it. Your eternal destiny depends upon it. What are we doing with the love God has given to us? What have we done with it? How do we express it? How do we show others the love of the love that God has given us so graciously? It's important. The church, as we know it, is changing. Not this church, but church in general. The corporate church is changing. I think my wife, this week we heard it was, 40 million? 40 million people now have turned from going to church. Well, you can see it in here. From a time when we were three services packed out on Sunday till now. And it's not because the message has changed. It's not because the spirit has changed. It's not because there's not healing anymore in the house. Not because there's not salvation in the house. It's because people, not you, you're here, but people, for the most part, have gotten very cold and indifferent, and they just don't care anymore. You know, you can tell, you can drive down a road and you can look at houses, and you can tell who cares about their house and who doesn't care about the house. Am I right or wrong? It's all about, you can see, if somebody cares about something, they show up and show out. So what we've got now is a place where people have taken church as a multiple choice. And God understands when we are not there, we do not support, or we're indifferent. God understands. What God understands is He's going to judge us. See, people want to hear that. We want to talk about the love of God, which is powerful. The grace of God, which is wonderful. But there's also that God that will judge all mankind. Then He'll ask, what in the world did you do? And He's going to show us. We've been talking about a life without limits, and I'm thinking, what opened the door? What has opened the door, Floyd, to this excellent life that I talk about? What has opened the door to this life of abundance? What opened the door? What opened the door through having the ability, Gerald, to walk in life without limits? Well, I'm going to tell you, it started 2,000 years ago with a little baby. And I celebrate today, on this Sunday before Christmas, I celebrate today that which God gave to us all, life and liberty in the Spirit. So no matter who's here today, I say to God be the glory for the things He has done and what He's done for us and for those that have participated in this house. Thank God for you. Thank God that somebody still cares. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a remnant that's going to go forward and do great things. But they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits, the Bible says. And I believe it with all my heart. Jesus. In Isaiah 9 verse 6, it was prophesied this: For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. All authority will be on him, Jesus. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Now listen to this carefully. These are the different names given by the prophet about Jesus. His name shall be called Wonderful. And I'm going to tell you, he is wonderful. Jesus, we sang the song years ago, isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? I have not seen, ear not heard what's been recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus our Lord wonderful? How many people can say today Jesus has been wonderful to you? Amen. So all these names means, excuse me, all these names mean something. He's wonderful. He's counselor. And when nobody wants to talk to me, nobody wants to give me any advice, Jesus steps up and he is our counselor. He tells us those things to come and those things that shall be. He tells me how to get into something and how to get out of something. He's the counselor. He's the mighty God. No matter how mighty the forces are that come against us, our God is stronger than any force of the enemy. Our God. Somebody say our God. You got to know he's your God. It's not for just for this person or that person. He's a God for everybody. He loves everyone. Are you sure, Bishop? Absolutely, I'll show you. So he's wonderful. He's counselor. The mighty God. Mighty. Nothing can tear down that stronghold. He's the everlasting Father. My dad may walk away from me. My mom may walk away from me. My family may walk away from me. But the Bible says he is the everlasting Father. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never let go of my hand. He'll never let go of you. He's an everlasting Father. So when you wake up in the middle of the night and say, Dad, he's there. You get up in the morning, he's there. The song says he was there all the time. You may not have seen him, but he's been there all the time, every minute, every second, every hour of every day. Even when you didn't want him to be there, he was there. When you wished he'd have left you alone because you wanted to do some things you knew the Spirit didn't go along with, you wanted the Spirit to quit talking to you. Have you ever been there? You wanted the Spirit to quit talking, but God never stopped trying to reach you. Everlasting Father. Then he says, I like this one, the Prince of Peace. When the storms of life are raging, when everything's about to take me out, the waves of crisis and circumstances about to drown me, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, stands up and says, peace be still. And in the midst of the storm, it becomes calm. How many of you need a little calm in your storm? I know some of us have gone through some storms. Some of us are physical, some spiritual, some emotional. But Jesus has the ability to say, peace. And there's peace in the midst of the storm. In this verse that we just read, it shows Christ, Jesus Christ, dual nature. The prophet said, a child is born, which emphasizes Jesus, his humanity. He was God in flesh. He was born of a Virgin Mary. He was real. You could touch him. He was flesh. Then it says, a son is given, which speaks of his divinity because he is the Son of God. He's God in flesh. Emmanuel, God is with us. So a life without limits started with this little baby in a manger and will continue around the throne of God. It may have started in a manger, but it will continue around the throne of God. And let me add to this, to that statement. It will also be eternal life without limits. Not just now, not just here in the here and now or the next 10, 15, or 20 years, but I'm going to tell you, when you face him face to face and stand around the throne of God, you will have that life everlasting and it will be a life without limits. But Christmas, when we think about Christmas, it's a glorious time. I used to love it when I was a kid. It was just a happy time. Family, friends, relatives, whatever. Some you didn't want to see, some you did. I mean, it was always a time when the good women of the church baked goods. Now some of the good men of the church bake goods. But the women always made it, man, they all made some wonderful things. So that was a happy time in my life. So it was a glorious time. How many of you can go back in your mind and remember Christmas when you were little? And I'm talking about some happy times, not some sad times. Yeah, my daddy used to beat me every Christmas. Well, forget that one. Santa didn't come down the chimney. My daddy threw me down the chimney. I mean, forget that. But Christmas, Christmas holds for all mankind a new beginning and a new dimension. A new beginning and a new dimension. So this Christmas, when I enter Christmas, I'm entering a new dimension because I step into that Son of God. I step into that Spirit. I step into that life. And I do it consciously, not unconsciously. I consciously say, God is with us, and God will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Butch, God touched you. He had a good report this week. Or at least I thought it was a good report. God hears our prayer, and He's such a great God, and He's giving such wonderful things to us this Christmas. You say, I don't know what's not so wonderful. I'm hurting all the time. Just be glad you're hurting, because if you're not hurting, that means something you ain't here no more. Because everybody in life is going to go through hurting. You say, I didn't wish I didn't have any bills. What if you don't have any bills? You don't have anything. I'm looking for the new beginning. I'm looking for the new dimension. I'm looking for the greater height. You see, if everything here today was to cease, I'd still be looking. I'm the supreme optimist. I'm still looking for the brighter day. I'm still looking for the new dimension. I'm still looking for a greater beginning. What did I tell you about 40 years? We celebrated our 40th year. I said, we will not celebrate 41. We will celebrate number one. Because I'm looking for a brighter beginning, a greater day. So in the midst of humanity's darkest hour, when hope seemed lost in the world, and the world was shrouded in despair, there came a radiant light that broke through, a light born from the very heart of God, a light that came from the heart of God. And this light was not just fleeting glimmer, it wasn't just flickering, but a life-changing, everybody say life-changing, it was a life-changing presence sent to transform the hearts and the lives of all mankind. This child, Jesus, born in a humble manger, was and still is the light of the world, carrying the promise, watch, carrying the promise of new life, boundless hope, and redemption for all. That's Jesus. That's really life without limits. Say this with me. He is the light of my world. Say it again. Now say this. Lord, if I have a dark place in my life, I'm asking you to fill it with your light. That light is the light. The life of all mankind. So today we need to think, if there's anything in our heart, in our life, that we consider darkness or void, we need to ask the Spirit of the Lord to come in and fill us today with His light, which will illuminate, and we'll be able to see those things that we need to take care of. How many of you have some things you wish you didn't have? Now, don't look at your wife or your husband. You know what I'm talking about. There are some things in your life that you wish you didn't have. Maybe there's some habits you wish you didn't have. Maybe there's some relationships that you need to distance yourself from because it's negative. How many people know negative relationships are not good relationships? So I say with you, He is the light of my world, and anything that's dark in me, I want your light to come in me and disperse the darkness, eradicate the darkness. What has man done, though? What has mankind done with everything we just said? What have we done with this truth? What have we done with the gift? What have we done with what God has given us? Well, the world, and I will say very sadly, the church has missed the meaning of this season. We've missed it. What we've done is exploited the season for monetary gain, missing the spiritual implication. We've totally missed it. We have reduced what is holy and that which is precious. And I'm not against these things, but you have to understand what I'm going to mention is things that we're making it our point of worship and not Jesus our point of worship. What do you mean, Bishop? Well, we've reduced this time of the year, this precious time of the year, to parties, lights, decorations. People will spend more decorating their houses than they will supporting the house of God. Am I right, Pat? There are people in our neighborhood that have spent more on their houses, trimming them out, getting companies to come put lights around their whole house, than they'll spend on supporting the house of God. So we've reduced it to decorated trees, and I'm not against those. Obviously, we've got some, but that's not our point of worship. My point of worship is Jesus Christ. My point of reference is the King of Glory. And anytime I get away from that point of reference, I start to lose faith. I start losing step. I lose position. So in Christmas, and you know, there's more suicides around the time of Christmas. Hopelessness. Where it should be just the opposite. We shouldn't be trying to kill ourselves. We should be trying to live. And it's not a time of hopelessness. We should see it's a time of hope. But it's about a monetary gain. All the corporations care about is making money. It's about packages that you've purchased that's under the tree. It's under the limbs of the tree. But listen, this is important. The greatest gift of all was not wrapped in shiny paper. It was wrapped in swaddling clothes. It was not under a tree, but it was found in a manger. The destiny of this baby, this gift, was not under the tree, but it was destined to hang on a tree. I'm not talking about, you talk about, I can minister on this. You do understand He's the greatest ornament that ever hung on a tree. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Why? Because He hung on a tree. But let me just say to you today, He didn't stay there. And He may have went into a grave, but He didn't stay there. And the same angel that probably declared His birth is the same angel that stood there by the tomb as He came out. What a gift. Can you say that to me? So I looked at that word. I've done this before. But the word, by definition, gift, is a present, is the transfer of something without the expectation of payment. So if you give something, you don't expect them to pay you for it. Unless you're Steve. How many people do you give a gift and you say, well, that'll cost you $10. That'll cost you $15. No, it's given to you without expectation of a payment. Although, in most gift giving, It involves the expectation of reciprocity. The gift is meant to be free. It's meant to be free. The gift of Christ, watch this. The gift of Jesus Christ, the one that instigated and started this life without limits, was free to everyone. The gift Jesus offered was himself, and he did it freely. A gift, truly a gift on this Christmas that keeps on giving every single day of my life. It presents to everyone, the recipients of this, everlasting life. The greatest hope for mankind was stated by this angel. The greatest hope for all of us was stated by an angel. In Luke 10, he said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And it shall, notice the last part of that phrase, and it shall be for all people. Not just for Christian people. Not just for sinner people. Not just for rich people. Not for this ethnicity. Do you notice what it says? All people. Now watch this. What I'm about to read you. It's all people. Not just a certain segment of society, but all people. Gerald, it's good to see you in church today. Where's everybody else? I'm proud of you. Luke 2:11 says, I just read you, paraphrase Luke 10. Luke 2:11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he's lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Church, let me announce to you today, for unto you the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came to this earth 2,000 years ago just for you. Just for you. You talking to me? I'm talking to you. He came just for you. For unto you he brings peace. For unto you he brings joy. For unto you he brings hope. For unto you he brings healing. For unto you he brings salvation. For unto you he brings prosperity. Deliverance. See, we don't make it personal, but it has to be personal. It's like my wife sang a song to me this morning because I started singing it. Once Elvis used to sing, it'll be a blue, blue Christmas without you. Remember that? It'll be a blue, blue, blue Christmas. But she sang it back to me. She said, it'll be a blue, blue Christmas without me. She made it personal. We need to make our relationship with Jesus Christ, Randy, personal. He's my personal Savior. He's my personal healer. My personal counselor. My personal mighty God. He's my personal Prince of Peace and Lord of Lords. It's personal. Does anybody else feel that way? Personal. Personal. And the good news about this, Floyd, is this. His rule and reign. Everybody put your name in that blank. His rule and reign, there shall be no end. And of his rule and reign, there shall be no end. That means, if that's true, the abundant life he's given to me, as recorded in the Word, there shall be no end. My life without limits, it should be no end. You say, but Bishop, I'm having some medical problems. You can still have a life without limits. But what you're going to have to do is step beyond fear into faith. Actually, fear Faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is the ability to overcome it. Are you catching that? Faith gives me the ability to look beyond it, step beyond it, to do something better with my life. Don't let anybody tell you that your life is stuck in a rut. It's not stuck there. He said, well, man, my daddy put me there. My mama put me there. My boss put me there. Quit saying that, Christian. They didn't put you there. If you're there, it's because you chose to stay there. You can come out of that rut today. You can come out of it today. You can be more than you ever thought you could be. What was that slogan the military used? Be more than what? Be all you can be. Is that what it is? Well, I think Christians need to hear that. Matter of fact, I don't know if Christians really know they're Christians. I'm really not sure. Because we equate Christian with certain things that don't mean anything. It like what we wear, that makes us a Christian. How we smile makes us a Christian. Or how we don't. Or how we don't go to this movie or that movie, that makes us a Christian. I mean, I could go down the line of what makes you a Christian, and that literally has little to do with what God is looking for. He says, let your light so shine before men. How's your light going to shine before men if all you're doing is hanging around in a house of light? What are you saying, Bishop? It's time for you to take the light you have that he's given to us so freely and take it into all the world and let people see it. Let them experience it. They won't see you're a Christian. They'll experience you're a Christian. And you shall know them by their... You will know them by their fruit, and you'll know them by their love. So this gift that was given to us 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, it cannot be defeated nor overshadowed. Many have tried. Many have tried but could not defeat it. That which God has started, and let's get right back to you now. That which God has started in your life, the new beginning, the new dimension, it is divine. God did that. God made Butch the way he is. God made Christian, can't believe that, but God made Christian the way he is. God made Randy the way he is. God made Floyd. God, you feel, hear what I'm saying? God made you the way you are for a reason. So you can reach your world. There's people that I've reached in my years of ministry that I don't know if anybody else would have reached them. Because I was called to reach them. Many of y'all didn't see me when I started out in ministry, but I was a crazy man. I mean, I introduced to the stage back in 1970s. I was the first to have, they called me the rock and roll preacher because I had a rock and roll band, and that's what we did. We just translated that to the gospel. We was one of the first. This that you see today, we were the precursor to all that. Of course, we were pretty strong in what we did. Matter of fact, I reached musicians that nobody else could reach. I had bands. Y'all remember Kansas? They came to my church. People from Atlanta Rhythm Section. I can name different groups that used to come. And matter of fact, one of the bass players for Kansas, he's played with me on stage one night. That's where everybody knew us. Matter of fact, my guitar player, he's dead now. Isn't it strange how they burn their bodies out? Wear it out, boy. First time he come to play for me, I said, man, you got to step in tonight because our guitar player's not here. And I need you to step in. Now, they're professional musicians, so they could step right in. He stepped out there in a T-shirt with cigarettes rolled up in his shirt. I said, my point is, every one of them got a touch from God. I received a letter this week from one of my guitar players that he had a studio here in town called Songbird. And he was a big time, one of the best guitar players I've ever heard. And he wrote me a letter and he said, "You'll never know." And now he's a representative for Gibson Guitars. So he's pretty up the ladder now. He said, "You'll never know what you have done for me." And that meant to me everything. Somebody came back and said, "Thank you for what you've done for me." Man, that means something. I'm not only taking this time because we're family here. It means something when somebody comes back and says, "Because of you, because of what you instilled, I've got a good life." And I went through some dark times with this young man where his wife was going out with his friend. He didn't even know it. I mean, there's so many things that we dealt with in those times with him. But now he's saying, "Thank you for showing me." Actually, what he was saying, "Thank you for showing me the love of Christ." So I'm wondering today, what in the world are you doing? Who have you touched? Who have you blessed? Who in here has shown the mercy of God? We don't need any more judges in the house of God. We've got one judge, and he's pretty good. Now, let me say this. I may be sounding like I'm jumping around. It's because I am. Because thoughts are coming to me about the past. How people's lives have been transformed, changed. So what's ever started in your life, remember, God called it, and God, it is divine. Why? Because the Word made flesh can dwell in you. That Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, can dwell in you. Because He gave Himself, you can become part of Him. And you can find the true meaning of life. It is that gift that keeps giving power. A power to become the sons and daughters of God. I'm almost through. You see, Mary, the little virgin Mary, had a physical body of the baby in her. She had baby Jesus in her. But within us, we've got the Spirit of Christ, which is helping us to mature. It's helping us to grow. It's helping us to develop. Are you seeing it now? The baby grew within Mary, but Jesus is helping us to grow because He's allowing His Spirit to live within our mortal bodies. And here's the good news. The Spirit of Christ in you will never grow old. It'll never get tired. It'll never die. I may be 80 years old or 85 or 90, but the same Jesus will be in me, the same Jesus I have now. He doesn't age. He don't get tired. That same Jesus is in you today. We have, say I have, the Word of God in me. You say, what are you saying? You've got Jesus in you. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He's in you. And only if you've got the Holy Spirit can you confess the Lord Jesus Christ. That means you've got the Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that points toward Jesus. I'll get into that. So from a manger to Golgotha, where He gave His life, the footprints of Jesus are left in our heart. Everything he did is left in our heart, and it's in our destiny. We, his church, must follow his path and be revealed as the children of power. So what are you saying? We don't need just another Christmas present. We don't need just another Christmas sermon. We had better take the Christmas, the Christ in that Christmas, which is Christ, a celebration of Christ. It's what it's all about. We need to take that celebration of Christ and put it in our hearts and our lives like never before. You know why these seats are not filled? Because the Christ that we talk about of Christmas is not celebrated in the hearts and lives of those that should be here. Bishop, don't beat us up because we're here. I'm not. I'm proud that you're here. I'm just telling you, I'm like a car technician. I'm telling you what's wrong with the vehicle. And we need to get it right. And you need to tell people. When they say, I love the Lord, say, well, let's see. Let's take a look at this. You might be shocked. Call their hand on it. They do very little for the kingdom of God. And here's what's funny. It's sad. They're going to stand before him one day and look at him. Face to face. And he's going to say, what in the world did you do? You know I'm telling you the truth. Have you read some of the phrases? Now I'm quit preaching. I'm going to med a little bit. Have you read some of the phrases of renowned atheists before they die? I'm talking about top-notch atheists. How about some satanic leaders? On their deathbed, them saying, what have I done? What have I done? Oh, what have I done? They realized at that moment what they'd done. Go back and look at it. It's on Wikipedia or whatever. They'll tell you what they said. It'll shock you how they say, I wished I hadn't have done that. Because they found out he's real. I know he's real because he woke me up this morning. He went to bed with me last night, got up with me this morning. He never slept nor slumbered. I don't need a burglar alarm. I got Jesus. He knows exactly what's going on. And we need him not only on Christmas Day, but we need him 365 days of a year. The true meaning. For God gave us his best gift ever when he sent his son, Jesus Christ. The world may have forgotten Jesus, okay? The church may have forgotten Jesus. But let me just say this. He's not forgotten about the world. He's not forgotten about his church. The Bible says in John 10, 11, and I'm starting to close. In John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And that's what he did. Then he says in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't forget. The reason I can stand here today, Floyd, because he didn't forget me. Do I deserve what I have? Do I deserve who I am? I really don't. But see, it goes beyond deserving. It goes into his grace, his enabling power. And what God calls, he ordains and substantiates. Do you understand that? I don't have time to preach it, but whatever God says is good, is good. Who was it in the Bible said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips? And God says, no. You don't have unclean lips if I put words in your mouth. This wonderful gift that I talk about today in closing is reaching out to all of us in this meeting today. He's saying unto us and saying unto you, come unto me. So I ask you today, what will you do with this Christmas present from the heart of God? What will you do with it?